Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. By DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 326 for November 15th, 2017. The world's largest ham shack.
Good evening, everybody. It's K9EID in the Illinois house tonight. And we have a very special program here on Ham Nation, here on the Twit Network. And I'm glad you're tuned in and call all your good neighbors and friends and anybody that can get on the Skype and check us out, because we have a wonderful story about deers. And we're not talking about ones with antlers, okay? We're talking about children in school that have some marvelous, marvelous Elmers and teaching them ham radio. So you're going to hear about that. Gordo's got a great interview coming up. And we'll get that going. But let's go see who all's here. Just run around the horn real quick. Gordo, you are going to be here. Looking good, huh?
Yeah, everything's fine. I'll be here with great announcements coming up.
Okay. George, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Bob. It got off to a rocky start this week. Anytime you get woke up about 6 o'clock in the morning because of a transmitter problem, you know your week's off to a great start. And boy, have we got something special that you want to hang around for tonight. Our friend Dan Van Evenhoven in 9LVS shot a little video of a place that I had seen photos of before, but I've never seen it done with an interview of the owner, and you're really going to like it.
It's going to be great. George Elm, I think he's got probably 55,000 radios. He's got every radio ever made. So please, everybody, pay attention, because this is quite a deal, a huge collection. No question about it. The biggest collection of ham radio in the world. And George has it. And he's on the air with it. You can work him every day. So I'm glad that Dan went up to do that, because that was quite a chore. But our George is going to tell you all about it. But in the meantime, we're going to head back to Gordo, because he's got a very special guest, and what a great subject. So, Gordon, it's all yours.
Well, thank you, Robert, Dr. Robert, and I'm very happy to say this is going to be one busy weekend. Now, for those of you near Fort Wayne, Indiana, this is your Fort Wayne Ham Fest this coming weekend, and it's always a great one. Unfortunately, there was a scrub on launching our next Fox satellite. The Fox 1B is going to go up soon, but due to high winds up in the atmosphere, they could not launch it early this morning. And then there'll be Fox 1 Delta, which operates with an uplink that is at 1.2 gigs. So that'll be pretty exciting for those of us on microwaves. But the big deal this weekend, and I know you're a member as well, is Radio Club of America's Technical Symposium on Friday. And that's going to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Tim Duffy is the president of Radio Club of America. Radio Club of America is proud to be one of the oldest amateur radio clubs in history, started in 1909. And this coming Friday, they're going to have APCO represented, Antique Wireless Association, Electronic Technicians of America will be there. IWCE will be there. Oh, by the way, IWCE is moving to Florida in March. QCWA, U.S. Navy, cryptographer veterans, they'll all be there. But the big guest, well, actually a member, actually one of the fellows of Radio Club of America, as I am as well, is Carol Perry, WB2MGP. And you know, Carol, and all she and Radio Club of America does to promote youth achievers. And they have over 100 youth achievers that have been assisted by Radio Club of America. And this coming Friday, Carissa Ferguson, KJ4EZA, is going to talk all about robots and ham radio, and there's a connection. Well, let me tell you, there is a connection between kids and us adults with ideas on how to get them turned on to a ham radio. And here's Jim Mayorchek, WX8 Juliet. And Jim, thank you so much for joining us. And let's jump right in and learn all about your dream of deer. So if we may, and yes, we're going to return to the CW slide prompt. There we go. First slide. And Jim, I'm going to turn it over to you and welcome aboard, Jim. Go ahead.
Thank you, Gordo. Good evening. Hey, we are the Deers, the Dresden Elementary Amateur Radio Station Club. It's a group of fun kids with various backgrounds enjoying ham radio and making a difference in the hobby and in our corner of the world. Now,
and
from
it's a big corner.
From a humble start, the Deer School Club began in 2009 with this donated Kenwood station. This is Austin taking the lead and demonstrating how to make QSOs on 40 meters. Now,
wow.
What a better way to learn your states and the countries than to QSO with hams on HF, sideband, or even PSK. And I'll tell you, the kids take great pride in working DX stations. Now, also, remember, your local hams become instant celebrities on the neighborhood repeater. You should see the kids' eyes when they walk into the room when they come to visit the club. Local volunteer with our club is Larry, KE8HEC. Now, he works with the club members in the VHF station. Larry started coming out to the club meetings with his grandson. Now he's licensed. Now, here's some more opportunities. Kids were amazed to talk through an amateur satellite instead of watching TV through it. Simple and free software, good timing, they're hooked. Now, this group is working AO51 with a 5-watt talkie and a Yagi. Now, later, the ham they were talking to sent them the audio file from the QSO. Then the kids started asking me, can we talk to the International Space Station? Well, to learn and understand what they're doing, we use Gordon West's technician and general class manuals. Science theory becomes in-hand reality. Take a look at Jacob here. He is mentoring the younger 5th and 6th graders. He is teaching the Ohm's Law calculations with those handmade pie charts. It sharpens all their skills. Now, we want to make circuit components and design things, and it can be tough. But hey, go to Amazon.com, get a Snap Circuits lab. This Deers member, Caleb, on the right, already had one and became our resident expert and teacher. Here he is in the next slide working with Sylvie, and they're assembling one of the projects. The building is fun, and it's easy, and really foolproof. Now the kids are saying, hey, Mom, can I get one for Christmas? Now, even though the knowledge of Morse code is not necessary in licensing anymore, the kids love to work with it. So why not build an inexpensive code machine from scratch? Look at Elijah here. KE8EYW is taking a spin on his constructed code machine. Now, as funds permit with our club, we build bigger projects. Parents join this group building an inexpensive VHF receiver kit from MFJ. Mom is reading the directions. Her daughter is IDing the parts, installing them in the printed circuit board, and solders them in. Now, How many kids these days know how to solder in components? This is a skill for the lifetime of building. Dad and son can work together, resulting in a proud papa of a son with a successful build that allows him to monitor the local repeaters. This is a handy device in severe weather or just listening to Ham's rag chewing on the local repeaters. Speaking of success, here's Mason, KE8BQL, with his passing certificate on his technician's license. Through study, he is now a skilled contester and is joining the local winning team at WZ8P for sweepstakes coming up this weekend. When one of our members gets their tech ticket, they receive a free VHF talkie courtesy of one of our club donors. This gift gives members a radio that they could not otherwise afford. You got to keep them talking. Donors are vital to the success of our school radio club, and we celebrate and we thank many, many local hams and stores like Universal Radio in Columbus, Ohio, and ICOM USA for making this possible. Hams are giving people. Now face it, kids love their smartphones. Here's Ryan, KD8PIR. He built an interface for his iPad and into a Kenwood HF radio. This is high-powered texting to the world. He was our first Deers member to lecture at the Dayton Hamvention Youth Forum. Here's Tyler, KD8UAY, another one of our members to speak at the forum. And hey, thank you, Carol Perry, WB2MGP, and the Radio Club of America for your tireless promotion of amateur radio with our youth. As I found out back in 2009, and Carol told me, you can start a kids' club. Here's this presentation. It was on contesting. In fact, he and another member even won the rookie roundup. Tyler's part of that team at WZ8P contesting this weekend in sweepstakes. And speaking of contesting, the Deers KD8NOM Kilo Delta 8 November Oscar Mexico has competed in some 11 ARRL School Club Roundup contests. No one sits on the bench with this winning group. Each student has a specific job to perform in the contest, and then they rotate to another position. They might be calling on HF or, at times, calling CQ on simplex VHF frequencies. You got to work those local ham celebrities and club stations. Computer logging. You know, I'm still amazed at how fast those little fingers can accurately type in the information from the QSO. And don't let those pretty smiles fool you. These eager members are searching DX Summit for the big multipliers. These girls can find them. Now, over the last several years, these elementary kids have won 4 first-place wins and 3 second-place wins nationally in the school club roundup. We are currently waiting to see if our latest elementary record-high score will hold up from the fall of 2017, just this last month. They made over 700 QSOs, 47 states, 6 Canadian provinces, and 50 other fellow schools. This could be first place number 5. We're awaiting verification. If you want to see more, now you can follow us on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter, and you can see the Deers in action. Just search those two with Kilo Delta 8 November Oscar Mexico. Or better yet, meet us on 20 or 40 meters. Our kids are active, and we'd like to talk to you.
Wow, that was terrific, Jim. And Jim, well, I probably don't need to say what's the best part of ham radio for you. I bet it's working with the kids, huh?
Well, Gordo, I was a teacher for music and band for 30 years, so I've been working with kids all of this time. Frankly, I'm just a big kid myself.
Well, as one kid to another, and with Carol Perry, WB2MGP, ready to take on all the work this coming Friday with Radio Club of America, we congratulate you, sir, for all your hard work with these kids. And I'll turn it over to you for a final with a big question. What's the best way to get kids involved with ham radio?
Well, it all starts out with an opportunity, Gordo. You get some local hams and you get some interest going and take some radios into a classroom. Make a special event of it. Do something small with an HT, or if you can, take an HF rig in there and do something simple. Get them interested in it, and you would be surprised how many kids will say, this is something I can't do with my smartphone. And it goes from there.
Well, that's talk the truth.
Yes,
well, Jim, by all means, tell us about what we're seeing here. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is our page on Facebook, and you can see the kids operating there. Some of those pictures, in fact, you saw tonight. We post when we're going to be on the air, what's been going on. In fact, one of the big stories from last night was the kids were talking with a station, and they didn't realize who they were talking to. And I said, what's that call sign? And they said, it's K3FBI. I said, look that up on QRZ. And they were amazed. This is the FBI's club station. They were just blown away. And I said, now you got to behave. They're listening to you.
Well, that's terrific. Well, Jim, we all salute you on the great work that your entire team puts in. Do know that Carrie Perry with Radio Club of America, and she'll be talking all about, I'm sure, your program and many of the other programs that our viewers and listeners here at Ham Nation can imitate. But thank you for leading the way to getting, most important, more kids into ham radio. Over to you, Jim, for your final.
Thank you, Gordo. You know, the best advice Carol ever gave me when I first heard some kids at the youth forum was this. She said, you know, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Call me, email me. Let's talk about it and let's get a plan together. That was the start of it. I never thought it could ever grow into what it's grown into. It's amazing. And it can be done. You can do it in your town with your kids in your Eaton Elementary School.
Well, you're certainly making it happen, Professor Jim. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Ham Nation. And we hope many of you will consider joining Radio Club of America. And any of you that want to look up their application form, it's radioclubofamerica.org. And if you need a sponsor member, send me your paperwork and I will sign it and sponsor any of our Ham Nation listeners and viewers to join Radio Club of America and then follow suit as Carol and Jim are doing. And that is getting more kids into ham radio. So, George, it's over to you and ICOM America and Ray at ICOM America. Believe me, he is very much behind Radio Club of America as a member and a strong supporter, as Jim is, more kids in ham radio. George?
Ring in the holidays with D-Star. Looking for the perfect gift to put under the tree this holiday season? Check out ICOM's line of D-Star radios. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. Unwrap ICOM's newest D-Star handheld portable this season. Lightweight, compact, and tough, the new ID31A Plus is a great choice for any shack or those in harsh environments. It's a 70-centimeter radio for both analog and digital, terminal mode and access point mode, and it has an IPX7 waterproof rating. Compact and user-friendly, the ID4100A is the gift any ham would love. It's the new D-Star Mobile with big rig features. Its intuitive interface, variety of operating modes, and Bluetooth capability make this the preferred D-Star option for those on the go. Integrated GPS receiver, new dot matrix display for enhanced DR mode and GPS information, terminal mode and access point mode, and micro SD card slot for voice and data storage. And there's applications for iOS and Android devices. The ID5100A has taken innovation and mobility to the next level. With its touchscreen and internal GPS, this radio is a must-have while assessing a situation. 5.5-inch touchscreen display responds naturally to touch. DV Dual Watch receives with both FM-FM and FM-DV mode signals simultaneously. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur. For more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. go to iComAmerica.com/hamnation and register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For November, that new radio is going to be the ID5100A dual band, dual watch transceiver. It has a large intuitive touchscreen display, built-in GPS receiver. Of course, it does both analog and D-Star. It's got DV and FM repeater list functions. There's an available optional Bluetooth module and headset, and there's optional free Android application as well. So after this episode of Ham Nation and each episode, go to iComAmerica.com/hamnation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And Bob, I believe you've got some pine board discussion for us tonight, don't you?
I do, but before I go, nice T-shirt you have from Huckins. What a great school that is also, right? That's super. All right. Well, before I get into the pine board, I've had quite a few letters in the last couple of months because I talk about transmitter bandwidth once in a while, and it's not talked a lot about. And what's really difficult is to really make your transmitter change bandwidth, especially ICOM. It's a little difficult. So I did a little short video to help you get not only the transmit bandwidth, but the same button turns the compression on and off. Now that, to me, and I will say it publicly, was kind of that was really a bad idea design-wise because it's real confusing. You hold it down for 2 or 3 seconds to change the bandwidth. Now here we go. Now watch. We're on mid. Now we're on narrow. But notice I have to hold it down and we're paging through the mid, wide, narrow. But then if I want to turn the compression on after I get the bandwidth I want, you just hit it real quick. And it will turn the compressor on and off. But then to change the bandwidth, you have to hold it down for 2 or 3 seconds. It's a little tricky to do. And compression has nothing to do with the bandwidth. So it's just kind of crazy the way they do that. But it makes a huge difference. The wide bandwidth on most of the transceivers is 2.9. That's usually the limit of where we do bandwidth today. Yeah, there's some guys out there doing 4 and 5 and 6K wide, but they are taking up huge spots and not paying much attention to their neighbors, and that's not very pleasant. So you want to stay under the 2.9, and that's wide on most all of the transceivers. The mid is sitting at 2.4. 2.4 is really nice. It still has pretty good audio, but 1.9 is the narrow, and that baby's narrow. It knocks off all the low end, but yet a lot of contesters like that because you take that along with our HC4 that rolls everything off under 600 cycles, and you're a spike right down the middle of the frequency. No, you do not sound pretty. You do not sound beautiful, but you are intelligent, beautifully sitting on top of all the pileup with the narrow audio and the narrow filter. So there you go, a little bit of instruction on the ICOM. We'll get into some of the others perhaps at a later date, but I wanted to do that for you because I've had most all the emails I have about that in the last few months have been on the ICOM because it's confusing. That one button does two real important things. So there you go. Pine board thing is getting big reviews. The reason I'm telling you this is it's going to be the feature article in QST. We're very blessed and honored, and I thank the league for picking this up. But the reason is that it's bringing a lot of people into building again. And the January issue is the DIY issue, do it yourself. So it's pretty nice to have that there because we're doing it ourselves. But please make sure you understand, and we tell you a lot about this. We're dealing with 150, 200, 300, 350 volts. Just be careful. Respect that high voltage. Respect it. And here are some, I showed you a piece of this last week, and I'm fascinated by what Bill has done. Bill has done his work on this thing. He built the pine board in a vertical situation instead of horizontal, as many have done. This is the front panel with the preamp equalizer, so on. And here's the back of it. This is really pretty work, and it works great. So nice job, Bill. But you see, all of you, you can put your own design into these things. It isn't, doesn't do what we say. We're just showing you the schematics, and we're showing what does work. But here's Bill out there doing his own thing, and it's a really good thing. I'll show you another one next week of Gene's. He put it in a plexiglass box. It's really amazing. Now, I've had a few instances where the guys are having trouble buying the bridge rectifier. You know, we started out with a tube rectifier, and I did that purposely so we could deal with a tube rectifier. But a tube rectifier is only half wave, and George told you all about that. You can go to the website, heilsound.com, page all through the microphone stuff, but down at the bottom is all the pages, and I mean many pages, of all the broadcasts, all the clips, all the diagrams, and a lot of comments. And the tube is a half wave. And we get maybe 1 or 2 watts from the transmitter using that because we're only able to get maybe 150, 200 volts. But if we go into the bridge rectifier, that allows us to have a full wave. And that little baby gets us some nice high voltage and 5 watts of the transmitter. This was the drawing. I've showed it several times, but you can see I have two lines out. We have one line that goes to the transmitter. It's right here. This guy right there. That line. Right. Let me put this down. This guy right here. This gives us the top line. It's 350 volts out. That is the transmitter. Preamp is still getting its low voltage of about 150 to 80 volts. So now you have a separate line running to each, but they're different voltages, and the transmitter doesn't meet the filter you had. But this is the solid state rectifier. Now, where do you get it? That's been a little situation because in the beginning, one of the companies we suggested, they no longer carry it. But by golly, Tubes and More. They have it, and there is the number of it, P-QBR-34. And that's the solid-state rectifier. It's four diodes in one little encapsulated box. How cool is that? And one other thing that we need to talk about in that is that transmitter will now do a full 5 watts out with the higher voltage of that bridge rectifier. And I had one other guy, and you can go see all of this at the website, heilsound.com, down at the bottom. And this is such a great drawing that Gene did, and it gives you all, I mean all, of the layout of the transmitter. Very well done. And this, again, you have to pay attention, is going to have the higher voltage on it. So just please respect that higher voltage because it is there, and just have to make sure that you take care of that. And last but not least, Antique Electronic Supply have now put all the kits together. There's three of them. You order the mic preamp, you order the power supply, and you order the transmitter. And here are the part numbers from Antique Electronic Supply. And they all have separate numbers, part numbers. And if you order the P-BH-MP, you're going to get all the parts for a mic preamp. You want the transmitter? It's P-BH-PBAMT. It's pretty easy to figure out what these are. They did this to make it easy for their salespeople. And the power supply is P for Pine Board, B for Bob Heil, dash power supply. And that will get you all of the parts. There's a couple of the parts that they don't have, but we've told you before, they are available. You go to the internet, you can get just about anything, but usually Mauser will take care of that. But there are the setups of all of the searches that they have for the mic preamp, the transmitter. They even have the field strength meter, that very, very first thing that started me on all of this, and the power supply right there on the website. So, and it's just such a wonderful, fun project, and I'm so thrilled that many of you, over 100, we have so many letters, and people write me and look up my address on QRZ, and in a lot of emails. And any questions you have, let me know. And you can put them in the comment. And I try to check that every few days on the website. So that's pretty much what's going on right now. We're working with the editors at the ARRL to get that all going. We'll let you know when it all comes down the line. But we're very happy about that, because there's over 100,000 people will get to read that and know more about what's going on, as well as what's going on here at Ham Nation. And speaking about what's going on is Mr. Don. He's got some news too, and is probably doesn't have a lot to do with soldering irons, but I bet it's got to do with all kinds of other news. Don Wilbanks, how are you, my friend? You doing good?
I'm good. It's good to be here, Bob. Good to see you. The pine board is just absolutely amazing. But before we get into the news of the day, I want to tell you a little bit about DX Engineering. No matter whether you're using the pine board that you're building yourself, or you're using a QRP rig, or you're using one of those big five-figure mega transceivers from Kenwood, ICOM, or Yaesu, one thing in common with all of those, whether it's your little QRP rig or it's the big 100,000-watt WTWW shortwave that a lot of people are listening to us on right now, 100,000 watts on 5085 and 12.105, the one thing that ties it all together is the antenna. And devoted hams, the folks at DX Engineering, understand that hams are always looking for ways to improve their stations, whether they're mega stations or very, very austere. It's one reason we all love this hobby. With that in mind, they've added three new brands to the DX Engineering roster, and those are Ciro Mazzoni, Moonraker, and HA8DU. Let's start with Mazzoni. Ciro Mazzoni's automatic magnetic loop antennas, the Baby Loop and the MIDI Loop. Founded in Verona, Italy, they've been a trusted global supplier of professional quality radio communications equipment for over four decades. Quiet, compact, sturdy, easy to install, the 40-inch diameter Baby Loop and 80-inch MIDI Loop are the perfect choices for stealth HOA and for operators dealing with space constraints. They're built to last with tough aircraft-grade aluminum. The antennas automatically adjust to be resonant throughout a wide band range, 80 through 20 for the MIDI Loop, 40 through 10 for the Baby Loop. They handle much higher power levels than any other loops. Frequency information is directly transferred from your radio to the controller. Then the antenna tunes automatically to the current frequency. Manual tuning is also available using the controller's analyzer. Amazing. Now, back in 1978, Moonraker came onto the scene. Moonraker has grown into the UK's largest manufacturer of amateur and scanner antennas and accessories. You want to check out the Moonraker SPX-100 9-band plug-and-go antenna. It's a 10-section, 50-watt telescopic whip that collapses to just 47 centimeters and can fit neatly into your suitcase for HF portable work, or you can use it at home or away. Featuring band coverage from 80 to 6, It comes complete with 3/8 by 24 thread with the PL259 and all the BNC adapters you're going to need. Also available is the Whiz Whip. It's a 10-watt, self-contained, all-band, 51-inch telescoping whip antenna with an integrated tuner. The Whiz Whip lets you transmit from 3.5 megahertz to 450 megahertz, freeing your rig from coax cables, mounts, tripods, masts, and trees. And it gives you great performance with no ground required. The Moonraker Compact QRP portable Whiz Loops are available with 20 through 6 meters or 40 through 10 meter coverage. They're perfect for attaching directly to your FT817 or any other QRP receiver. You could probably put that dude on a pine board if you wanted to. I bet you could. DX Engineering now offering the T and L type antenna tuners from HA8DU. HA8DU antenna tuners are solidly built. They give you exceptional quality switches, capacitors, inductors, and other components for reliable high-power operations, perfect for contesting or normal QSO. The tuners are designed to optimize the performance of your antenna and transmitter by providing adjustable impedance matching. You can get them in automatic or manual tuning. They deliver 1.8 to 30 megahertz coverage. They provide smooth tuning and a rugged, reliable, and attractive unit that will make a long-lasting addition to your station. And DX Engineering, you know this ships faster than anybody else in the industry. If you place your order by 10 p.m. Eastern time, most orders are shipped the same day. With proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering is helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com. And we thank them so much for their support of Ham Nation. Now, as Bob said, let's go ahead and get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2089, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, November 18th, 2017. A team heading to Baker Island for a de-expedition in June just received a major boost.
The team of 11 people will be heading to the Pacific to the small island located between Hawaii and Australia for the first time since 2002. Like most de-expeditions, the expenses for the trip are extensive.
Any large, faraway place requires a lot of money because it's a long sail from anywhere.
The cost of the trip is in excess of $430,000. Team members are paying for about half of the cost, while the other half must come from contributions from individuals and foundations. A major donation was just announced last week by team leader Don Greenbaum, N1DG, on Ham Talk Live.
We've applied to the Northern California DX Foundation for support, and they let us know this morning that we will be receiving a grant of $75,000.
For more information about the KH1 Baker Island De-Expedition or to make a contribution, be sure to visit baker2018.net and their Facebook group. Your contributions are needed and appreciated. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana.
Here's a report on the recently concluded Jamboree on the Air.
With over 12,000 locations registered for Jamboree on the Air and Jamboree on the Internet worldwide, including an astonishing 990 from the United States, we need reports from all of those locations to determine the number of scouts, amateur radio operators, and guests in attendance. Here's a couple of great reports we've received so far. William Mitchell, W0WMM, from their station from Woodsmoke in Gibson Island, Maryland, reports that the scouts enjoy DXing and making contacts with Spain, Argentina, Brazil, and the UK. The highlight of the event was when they talked to scouts on the nuclear submarine Savannah in the Baltimore Harbor. Jeremy Brown, KA7BIF, with a K7MVA activation from the Snake River Boy Scout Council in Twin Falls, Idaho, reported that this was their first time doing JODA and that they had a blast and can't wait till next year. With the local council's help, it was a success and we helped 22 Boy Scouts earn their radio merit badge. For more information and to file your JODA report, please visit www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
Finally this week, it's a given that when Pope Francis has some big questions to ask about life and the universe, he looks to the heavens. And that's just what he did on October 26th. In fact, he got some answers. Only this heavenly exchange didn't come from the source you might imagine.
The pontiff got a chance to chat via a satellite feed with the six astronauts on board the International Space Station, and his questions were understandably tough. Like the rest of us, he was seeking to understand humanity's place in the universe. But these were challenges that space travelers such as Paolo Nespoli, IZ0JPA, and Joseph Acaba, KE5DAR, could only take a stab at from a scientific point of view. NASA's Randy Bresnik, the Expedition 53 commander, told the Pope, however,
"People cannot come up here and see the indescribable beauty of our Earth and not be touched in their souls."
With this exchange, Pope Francis became the second pope to speak with the astronauts, following Pope Benedict in 2011. Paolo, of course, did take the opportunity to make a kind of confession. Humbled at not knowing all the answers to the pope's questions, he said, quote, "Our aim here is to spread knowledge. But the more we learn, the more we realize we do not know," end quote. So together, they will all continue to look to the heavens. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Bill Stearns, NE4RD, Mike Askins, KE5CXP, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
Solar activity remains elevated this week with pockets of fast wind keeping us up at active conditions, and a new region rotates onto the Earth-facing disk, giving amateur radio operators something to smile about. Those stories and more in the news this week. Solar activity remains elevated this week. We're dealing with a finger-like coronal hole that has rotated into the Earth's strike zone. It's only sending us a small pocket of fast wind, but it's enough to keep us up at active conditions, which should keep you aurora photographers happy. We also have two more small coronal holes that will be sending us some more small pockets of fast wind. Once again, will probably keep us up to active conditions easily through the next week or so. But the big news is region 2687. It's a new active region that's rotating into Earth view right now. And as promised, it is raising the much needed solar flux for you amateur radio operators. We have now bumped back up into the marginal conditions, so you should enjoy some decent radio propagation here over the next 2 weeks. Switching to our M-flare threat meter, you can see we're still extremely quiet when it comes to X-ray flux and therefore also the solar flux. But back on the 12th, we saw a little bit of a rise. That was from region 2687 that has rotated onto the Earth-facing disk. We've even popped a couple C-class flares because it is showing a little bit of activity. And of course, I'm having flashbacks to region 2673 that gave us all those X-class flares. But right now, the region looks to be reasonably quiet, so we're not looking at it as being an M-flare player, but it is giving us that much needed solar flux for you amateur radio operators, so we're back into marginal conditions and you can enjoy some propagation. Switching to solar storm conditions, you can see the last time we actually had a big solar storm was back on the 7th. That was from that huge coronal hole that gave us a lot of fast wind. Things didn't die down till almost the 11th. Now we're sitting in active conditions from the second part of that coronal hole. It's the second finger that's kind of caught us here. So the active conditions will probably last for the next day or so on and off, and then it will die down maybe for the next couple days and then pick back up again as these other coronal holes begin to throw their pockets of fast wind at us. It'll probably keep us at active conditions sporadically throughout the week before things begin to really quiet down. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are dealing with the fast wind from that coronal hole we've been dealing with for about 2 weeks now. This is that second finger of fast wind that's coming, and it's bumped us up to active conditions, but almost sporadically. NOAA's giving us at high latitudes about a 20 to 30% chance of a major storm. At mid latitudes, we're only looking at about a 5 to 15% chance of a minor storm, but this should kind of go up and down through the rest of the week as we have other pockets of fast wind that will be hitting us from these other coronal holes. So we can easily bump up to storm conditions, and we'll have to kind of watch it very carefully to see what the Earth's magnetic shield is going to do. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is in the green when it comes to solar flares. We do have new region 2687 that has rotated into Earth view, but it is not a risk for radio blackouts right now, even though it's a very big region. The nice thing about this region is that it has raised the solar flux to bring it back into the marginal levels. This is a really nice kiss for you amateur radio operators who've been needing that solar flux to come up so radio propagation can resume. And this will give you a nice gift over the next 2 weeks while this region remains in Earth view. So the space weather this week remains elevated. We do have some pockets of fast wind that are hitting us sporadically. It's bumped us up to active conditions and probably will keep us there. So your aurora photographers, especially at high latitudes, you should be extremely happy because you probably have some good chances for some decent aurora. And at mid-latitudes, your aurora photographers, keep yourself on standby because we could easily bump up to storm levels depending upon how Earth's magnetic shield wants to react to this, these pockets of fast wind. And that's going to last over the next week or so. Now, you GPS operators at high latitudes, you're probably fine unless you're dealing with things just right underneath the aurora. At that point, you got to worry a little bit about your GPS reception. At low latitudes, you are probably extremely happy because these storms are kind of leveling out the atmosphere for you so you can enjoy some better GPS reception at night after sundown. Now, you amateur radio operator should also be pretty happy because we have region 2687 that's now rotated onto the Earth-facing disk and is giving us some wonderful and much-needed solar flux that is going to keep us up at marginal conditions and allow you to have some decent propagation easily over the next 2 weeks. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Always great information from Dr. T. We are so, I say this every week, we're so fortunate to have her in our Ham Nation family and just in ham radio, period. And you know, George, seeing her lovely red blouse, smock, whatever you want to call it, top, I don't know, it's a shirt to me, but whatever, and all the green on her charts has put me in the Christmas mood, George, it really has. And right now, if you want to go listen to W2, well, not right now because Ham Nation is on, but WTWW Shortwave is having their Christmas music programming. They switched into Christmas music, and Ted Randall emailed me and or texted me and said they're also doing their decorated vintage radio contest. I believe that's what he called it. Let me check the doobly-doo here real quick. Yeah, started Christmas music on WT and the vintage decorated radio contest. Email at WTWW.us. Well, you can contact them and get all the information you might want on that, George. If you have a vintage radio you would like to decorate, get yourself in the Christmas spirit by all means. And yeah, this guy named Heil, he plays the organ on there too. So check that out.
Okay, Don, sounds like big happenings there up in Tennessee. Boy, he's already changed to the Christmas format. You know, I don't know if iHeart has flipped their station to Christmas here yet or not. It's about that time of year when that happens, but
I try to avoid that.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have music on shortwave, though. You know, we didn't have anything there for so many years. It's nice to be able to tune in and hear a few tunes and what they sound like over shortwave radio. Well, Don, I have something really special tonight. Our friend Dan Van Evenhoven, N9LVS. You remember Dan? He's our wiki meister. He does all the Ham Nation show notes. He does them for Amateur Logic and Ham College as well, and keeps all our show notes up to date on the wikis there, so you can find out what happened in what episode. Well, Dan made a little trip. You know, he's in Wisconsin, but he went to visit a guy that there's a chance you may have seen this shack before. All I'd ever seen of it was photos. So it was good to see a little video and an interview with George Olam, W9EVT, in Washington Island, Wisconsin. And let's take a look at that.
We decided to make a quick little trip up to Door County to visit the home of George Olam, W9EVT, and these are some of the highlights from that trip. George lives with his wife, Susan, on Washington Island in Wisconsin. which is at the tip of the Wisconsin Peninsula, which is quite secluded. The closest freeway is almost 100 miles away. But boy, is it worth the trip. George has one of the largest radio collections in the world, and a lot of one-off radios. So let's take a look. This is George's main operating station, which includes a Flex 6300, an IC7800, an IC7300, a Tentec Orion 2, a Tentec Omni 7, and a Heath SS9000. The radio that caught my eye was the blue radio, the Hilberling PT8000A, a German radio, which is a one-off. This is the view looking up from the main operating station, and most of the equipment you see here is fully functional. Looking back from the main operating station, this is what you see, a virtual history of radio, some dating back to pre-World War II. So let's let George show us a little bit of his collection.
This is the first pad adapter, 1937, by National, and this is their first regenerative receiver. And Carl and I were talking when I was about 8 years old. Carl says, get on the telephone and call National. And they connected me to a man called Millen, left National, and went into business making his own equipment. And some very excellent, I have most of it here, the Millen equipment. But he's when I talked to him, I said, I read an article that you are going to, in your next receiver at National, are going to have a meter in it, an S meter. He says, that's true. And he says, in fact, he said, I'm looking at my desk here. He says, I have two prototypes here. And he says, we're trying to decide which one to use. And we talked about it. He says, yes, it'll probably be in our next radio. And when he said, who are you with? I said, I'm with Carl Hassel. Oh, Carl is with you. Let me talk to him on the phone. And a week later, I received in the mail the first S meter that was ever made for a radio, except maybe people did on the side. It's in a wooden cabinet that they made, and it plugs into a National. And I don't know what its value is, but it's a, it's the first S meter.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
And the only reason that I got it is because I knew Carl, who was the guy who helped set up all the frequencies with Hiram Percy Maxim, and also I sat with Carl, I would say 5 hours a day for 4 years. Awesome. And my radio convention, and this was done, let's see, September 18th, and this is 1937. And basically, I went there, and Carl invited me because he was at going to be at one of the speaker tables, and he invited me and my mother.
First radio equipment.
During World War II, Carl managed to get for me a Hammerland receiver, an SP600.
Okay.
I had an SX28 here and an AWR. To get radios during the Second World War, a lot of these things were made for the government for things, but they. I have another one here that has a meter in it, but this is the original. The other one that I had, and I think it originally cost about $400 or $500, which is in those days triple the amount of money now. And I had a Texan that offered to buy it for me for two. I bought three 75A4s, and here they are on this side desk. See? And he says, I'm giving them on Monday morning, I'm giving them to our lab, and I want them to come up with a radio that is better than the 70. They got three. They put it on sale for $1,000. It cost Hallercrafters close to $1,500 to make it. And they sold it for $1,000. And they still, 20 to 1, people still bought the Collins and not the Hallercrafters. In other words, Hallercrafters, you could get a radio for $38 during World War II. And they came up with a whole new company called Echophone, because when they sold it, they took the transformer out of it for 115 volts, telephone, and she would answer on the phone, Echophone, and they were expecting sometime a call from a lawyer saying, hey, you've just electrocuted my son, or whatever it happens to be. And Oh, by the way, these are Millen. This is a 1939 model here of an antenna tuner of Millen. Well, here's a VC610, and they said, we understand you know more about military equipment than anyone else. Oops, and he says, could we hire you? And they came up with some of these IBM sheets, which is said like on one of the sheets, maybe 3,000 items. And one was 25 of them, one was 100 of them. And he said, what's an SCR-299? I said, that's a ton and a half truck with a motor generator on a trailer. It has a BC-610. It has a BC, a Ham SX-73.
Oh, okay, yep.
But I don't think there were hardly any ever sold, because I think they ran about $7,000 at that time. During World War II, 7,000 was running a rifle range and a pistol range in Eastford, Connecticut, a camp for boys. And it was connected to the school that I went to in Chicago, which was called Chicago Latin. That receiver, and then I bought a Millen exciter, parts for a power supply, for a 700-volt power supply, and a lot of things. And I went about four doors down, and there was a surplus store, and I bought a ski pack, which is it came with 150 watts. I bought the transformers for a power supply. I bought a microphone. I bought a number of things. And we unpacked all the stuff from new and packed it loosely into this canvas cover. And then they helped me carry it down the stairs, because I have store in Boston. BC-610 didn't radiate like me. I know with my BC-610, I could basically guaranteed to work 400 or 500 TVs at any one time. Because Channel 3 and Channel 4 was completely blanked out by anybody that had a BC-610.
Mm-hmm.
Come on up. This is my Collins. They cost over $90,000 because LeMay, which was a friend of mine, and Art Collins was told by the... We were, at that time, sending four atomic weapon-carrying airplanes, B-36s, two on the East Coast, two on the West Coast, that would always be in the air. Some transceivers that will give about 600-700 watts, 800 watts, and work all bands, and be on single sideband. And we want you to use the Zenith system, which was a man... which by the name of Wes Schrum. Ever hear of Wes Schrum?
Wes Schrum, yeah.
Yeah, well, was a good friend of mine. And Wes, it's going to take 90 days, but it took us 2 days to get here, so it's going to be 87 days we have to have them. And if we don't have them by that time, Collins Radio will be put out of business. We're closing it down. However, we're not telling you how many hours you have to work, how many subcontractors you have, or what you're going to charge us. But we have to have... They had also a flotation unit. But the reentry cooked it. It didn't work. Most of the times, the flotation did not work because the reentry caused problems. Mm-hmm. So the capsule would sit in the water, and if it stayed in there long enough, it would sink. And they say it had a problem for the recovery. And when we now then start to send astronauts up, but returning them on. With a plane that went up and went down. It went up by rocket, but went down by conventional method.
We spent about 5 hours at George's QTH, and these were the highlights. George has just a wealth of history on radio and firsthand accounts. From Washington Island in Wisconsin, this is Dan, N9LVS, 73.
Thanks for that, Dan, and thanks, George, for... sharing the interview with us there. Boy, what a ham shack. I think that's the most radios I've ever seen in one ham shack before. Surely it has got to be, Gordo. Wow. Every now and then some photos come up on the internet of his shack there, and it always just really, you could spend hours just looking at what's there. Man, thanks for that again, Dan. You know, last week I showed a little item here, and I said, well, what the heck is this? Can you tell me? Well, yeah, Roger Collins, AI6XS, said, George, that's a heat sink used for soldering. And, yeah, you're right, Roger. You know, you got a wire and you strip back the insulation or a transistor or a diode, whatever you're wanting to solder. You put this on that lead between the component or the insulation and the spot you're going to solder. And instead of the heat running down the wire and melting the insulation or damaging a fragile component, the heat will get sucked up into this little aluminum clip-on heat sink here. There's a lot of different kinds, but something that's good to have in your toolkit there. Well, Roger, you're going to win the MFJ 113 giant LED clock. It's an alarm clock. Displays both 12 and 24 hour format. Take your pick. You can see this thing anywhere in the shack. I mean, it is a big LED clock. It's probably the biggest one I've ever seen. So what are we going to do next week? Well, I've got another prize right here. This is going to be one of those DX Engineering tote bags. It's a big canvas tote bag. You know, this is what I use to haul my coax and extension cords or whatever when I'm, going to operate remote. This thing can take it right here. Very heavy duty. And let's see, I guess we're going to ask a question out of one of Gordo's books here. And it's going to be the Gordon West Extra Class FCC Element 4 Amateur Radio License Preparation Manual. Gordo, you know, he flagged all of these questions here for me. And it's even got highlighting on the inside there so that I will automatically go to the best questions to ask you here. And we've got a good one this week. You know, I got one of these things here. This one's yellow. You see a lot of black ones or even red, different colors in kits. You'll see them in ballons, maybe a little bigger in a ballon. It is a toroid inductor. And the question is, what core material property determines the inductance of a toroid inductor? Is it thermal impedance, resistance, reactivity, or permeability? What do you think? What determines the inductance of this ferrite core right here? You think you know the answer to me? Or you think you know the answer, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win this DX Engineering tote bag. Someone's going to win it. Might as well be you. All right, we're going to be back in just a few moments for the chat room. But first, Don has some important information about saving some money on your mortgage.
That's right. A mortgage is something that everybody needs, but they can be very, very confusing. And this episode of Ham Nation, by the way, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans figured out that the mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution. That is exactly why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's very simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. And that is key. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's very powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your very first home or you're an old hat and it's your 10th mortgage, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. And based upon your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage will analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that is just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. To get started, all you have to do is go to rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. And Rocket Mortgage, we thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation here and Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage, good stuff. Amanda, we missed you last week. We understand you had some family obligations and some birthday stuff going on. Hope everyone had a good time, but we're so happy to have you back.
Well, thank you. I did. And I can say this on here. I couldn't say it on Facebook. My sister called off a few days to sneak here to Colorado to give my mom a happy 65th birthday. So I know.
Isn't that nice?
So I couldn't post any of it on Facebook. It's pretty quiet. But it was a fun birthday party for my mom, and she truly enjoyed it. So, and we served jambalaya. Can you believe that?
Really? Wait, now.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you know how to where did you get tell me about this jambalaya, because Colorado don't know nothing about no jambalaya. I can guarantee you that. Where'd you get it?
We don't. And I had to make it a little bit Yankee-ish for Jeff because ketchup is hot for him. But it was still had some spice in it. I love my Tony Cashier's Louisiana spice.
Sachery.
Thank you. See,
Tony Sachery. Tony Sachery.
I failed. Okay. A few tablespoons of that in there.
Don't take good. Much. Doesn't take and much at Tony's.
Andouille sausage, is that how you say
andouille.
It?
Andouille.
Andouille sausage, okay.
Andouille, yeah, the L's are silent. Andouille, andouille, yeah.
All yeah, right, andouille. Well.
I tell you another great, if you want to make good gumbo or jambalaya and you want to do it from a box, no matter where you are in the country, go get the Zatarain's, Zatarain's, Zatarain's. You know, they're not a sponsor or anything, they're just, it's a good it's, you know, the locals use it. The New Orleans locals and the Cajuns, they use it. So it's just
all
like
right.
Tony's.
Well,
just like Tony's.
We'll have to try it out sometime if you can even find it in a grocery store here. All right.
You can.
Let's get to the announcements. First of all, I just wanted to say hello to Audrey in Georgia, who's watching KM4BU, and she's my hero. 13-year-old girl, bright as can be, was out making contacts this weekend, talked to Tanzania on Whisper. 1/10 of a watt, you guys. She's a pro. Other announcement this weekend, I was called out for an Aries supporting search and rescue mission. We had to take out our quick response vehicle, and it was successful. There's a 54-year-old missing woman in a very remote part of our county, search and rescue. Well, actually, Flight for Life found her at 9:15 in the morning. It took another 5 hours to get her out of the area she was in, but she was okay, just tired and hungry. That was a successful mission. And we played a great role helping with handling a lot of communications between search and rescue. Whether you know it or not, when Flight for Life is above you, they can't just talk on a DTR 800 megahertz radio back to an incident command. So they kind of need interaction there, and we were helping relay those messages. So way to go, us. One other announcement. I don't know if you guys know this. I just found this out today. We all know who Hedy Lamarr is from 1940s, who came up with the use of red spectrum and frequency hopping. They're doing the movie on it, and it's coming out. Yeah, it's coming out in like a week or so, and it's really going to be focusing not about her Hollywood role, but about her inventions and how she was kind of blown off because she was too pretty.
Yeah, Hedy Lamarr was brilliant. I mean, way ahead of her time. I mean, she was an actress and everything, but she was also this genius brainiac and came up with all kinds of things that we take for granted now. Hedy Lamarr
was like
just amazing.
Crypto lady. Yeah, came up with great crypto, being able to solve almost anything she detected over the airways. Absolutely.
I'm sorry. So my video is probably freezing. I don't know. Maybe somebody's playing video games in the background. Anyhow, so you guys are talking about
Jeffrey.
Hedy Lamarr. Darn Jeff and radio. Let's see. Where am I? The question. Okay, Gordo, this one's for you. Y guy in the chat room said he was looking through the DX Engineering ad, and he saw some really humongous prices on some antennas, especially like the loop antennas, tell us why they're so expensive. Is there some major engineering and production and design that go into them that make them that costly, and that's why they're worth it?
Well, I'll go half, and then I'll turn the other half over to the other yellow shirt guy, Don. But yes, loop antennas are quite amazing for their small size, yet their capability with a very high Q, a quality factor of putting out a reasonable signal. And the ones I saw tonight, Don, how about telling us about that DX engineering loop that handles 100 watts and has those big capacitor plates on the top where they should be, Don?
Yeah, that's the one. I think we saw those at Dayton where they have like I believe those are the ones that have the big arm that goes across, like a Delrin arm that pushes.
Yeah, that's one.
Pushes it. Yeah, instead of actually having a variable capacitor at the bottom or, you know, a vacuum type capacitor, they actually have these large plates at the top and they are mechanically spread apart and together for the tuning. And so, you've got a lot of engineering that goes in there, and you've got those linear actuator motors that go in there for those particular ones. And yeah, they can be, I mean, there's a lot of engineering in there. And so you're paying for the R&D for that for sure. But they're amazing performers. They really are. There you go.
There's a good shot of one. And boy, that was a showstopper at Dayton.
Yeah.
But expensive.
Yeah, sure.
Grand, I think, but all worth it if you're in an HOA and you want to get a reasonable signal out on HF.
Especially if you want, like I said, if you want to do more than just QRP level, because that's the limiting factor. I mean, you can build a loop out of, out of coax or out of aluminum tubing or copper tubing yourself, but it's not going to be able to handle 100 watts like these things are. And I think the big one probably handles more than 100 watts, I think. I'm not sure, but, make sure you don't operate real close to that thing. But no, there's some amazing engineering that goes into there, and you can get those at
there
DX
you go,
Engineering.
Amanda.
Well, thank you for that explanation. I really appreciate that, and I think the chat room does too. Kind of gives you a view of why you're paying so much for it. You're really getting some quality. All right, the next question, this one's kind of an interesting one. People were talking in chat. Gordo, I'm going to send this to you again. Do you remember hearing about the Russian woodpecker noise on maybe 40 meters and how invasive it was to all of the hams here?
Yes, in fact, while I can't play it right now, next week, beside being able to give you some CW, I'll give you the Russian woodpecker recorded back in the old Mylar days. How does that sound, Amanda?
Ooh.
That sounds great. I've seen this. I want a picture of it, too, because I think I've seen a picture before, and it's amazing. It's this huge, you saw the wall of the border was crazy. Wait until you see the picture of this antenna array that they had set up. It was something miraculous. I don't know what they used it for, but I'm waiting for an explanation from you, Gordo, next week, okay?
Oh, roger that. And it was one where the hams would try and imitate it to throw them off that it was an echo. And it was so powerful, it would bring 40 meters down to our little feet back then in the old days.
Amazing. Well, okay, I've been looking on chat to see where the 40-meter frequency is going to be tonight, but I have a huge announcement to make tonight. Steve, W7UDI, says, 20 meters is in the dumps now. Why don't I pick an 80-meter net? I said I love it. Let's do it. So he's looking on 80 right now, you guys, and hopefully we can join him. I think he had said, he didn't mention it yet, so please look at chat. Don, have you seen anything while I've been talking?
71.92 for 40 meters, Amanda.
Okay, for 40, 71.92. We've got 14 Charlie for D-Star. Do drop in for EchoLink. And I'm missing one, DR. We have TAC 311. We've had some great check-ins there recently. And 80, I'm not seeing Steve come back on saying he's found an 80, but I think that's in the works. So if we don't have it this week, look definitely for next week. So, all right. I think that's all I have. Who's wrapping the video up?
Let's let George wrap things up, because George is a rapper. Did you know that about George? You know he does the Wayne's World thing, but he's a rapper as well.
Yeah.
I think he goes by Little George.
Da, 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 da,
yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah, little Georgie Porgy. There's a limerick in there somewhere, and I'll come up with it later.
I do want to mention one thing. You know, we talk every week about the ICOM America contest, and, you know, they're giving away that ID51A this month. There is a problem at the website right now. If you try to go to icomamerica.com/hamnation, it's having problems finding that page. So check back tomorrow or so, or probably by the time this video is posted. I'm sure they'll have that issue corrected, because the contest is still ongoing. Just some kind of web server problem or something probably tonight.
Hey, here's a thought. Maybe because they announced that the 7610 is going to be available now for December, maybe everybody's going on ICOM America and crashing the website. Do you think?
You know, hey, there you go.
I was going to let it be a surprise, Don, but I think I'll be getting a sneak peek on those here pretty soon.
Ooh.
Mr. Novak himself, maybe?
Yep. I think we're going to shoot a little video on it. We hadn't set a date yet, but it'll be within the next few weeks. So I can't hardly wait for that.
Right. Well, if you need some help rattling them to the ground, let me know. I'll drive up there.
Okay. All right.
I believe we can take it.
Good point. Tommy and I have not been successful yet.
We'll take him. We'll get your friend Jim. That'll teach him.
My friend Jim. Just burn him. All right. Thanks for being here tonight, everyone. Great show. And, you know, great guests there at the beginning, learning more about the Deers Amateur Radio Club there. Dan, great interview there with George Ulm and seeing that great shack. Before we go, let's pass it around one more time. Gordo, you've got any final words for us tonight?
We just wish everyone attending the Radio Club of America, the big get-together this Friday, their technical symposium followed by their banquet, with Carol Perry leading the Kids with Young Achievers for Radio Club of America. Have a great conference in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Tim Duffy, thanks for your Radio Club of America leadership. George, back to you and Don.
Okay.
And Amanda.
Thanks for that, Gordo. And, great organization. I may have to go look into joining that myself. I didn't know what the qualifications were, but if you'll sponsor me anyway, I guess I could get in.
I will.
Don,
you're in.
Any final words?
Yeah, put me on that list too, because I've been wanting to join the RCA for some time. Yeah, I do have something. You know, I want to wish everyone, first off, a happy Thanksgiving, because we're not going to be here next week because TWIT will be dark for Thanksgiving. But twit.tv/best of, we need you to go to that website and give us your pick for what rerun you want to show for Ham Nation. And it's all of TWIT, the whole week, I believe. The TWIT's going to be in reruns. But go on there and tell us your favorite episode of Ham Nation, or just if you have other favorite TWIT shows, go down there and tell us what your favorite episode is from the past year. And the most popular one that gets the most votes will be the winner and will be the one that is shown. So while we're taking Thanksgiving off, you can still enjoy your favorite episode of all of the TWIT shows in general and Ham Nation in particular. That's twit.tv/best of. And happy Thanksgiving, everyone, because we won't be here next week.
And Don, we'll be on the air a week from tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, from the blue Pacific beach of Southern California.
Yeah.
Chip K7JA, Janet, Susie, and Gordo, and Pat from ICOM America. We're going to be on the air, 28.333 Beach Portable. Tune us in, Ham Nation viewers. We'd love to hear you all day, a week from tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, 28.333.
That's your annual road trip. Amanda, anything for you tonight?
Yes, thank you for reminding us for the best of. When I got hung up on, it was next on my list, and I skipped over it. So appreciate that. Second, it looks like they're going to try 3890 for an 80 meter net tonight. kind of an inauguration for it this year. So give it a try, everyone. That's all I have. Thanks. Thanks for watching. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah, that that problem might be that frequency may be a little bit of a problem because, you know, the AMers are on 88, 85. It's only 5 kilohertz away. And if you're going to try to operate lower sidebend on that frequency, I don't know, that might be kind of tight, huh, Gordo?
Yeah, be careful. You stray into someone else's 75-meter spot, and you be toast. So best, and don't go upper sideband.
No.
Yeah, not a good idea either. All right.
Well, cruise up and down the band and see what you can hear, and maybe you'll hear them operating somewhere. But let's not interfere.
Roger that. Go up, not down.
Yep. All right.
Sage
7-3,
advice.
Everyone. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks.
Good night. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We love you.